And we're back. Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. We're talking to Dr. Louis Friedman of the Planetary Society. And you can still call and talk to Dr. Friedman at 713-950-650. Dr. Friedman, I have been fascinated by the Air Force's X-37B project. Aside from its more than passing resemblance to a shuttle, which may be an aeronautical physics thing, does that offer any potential for upsizing it, changing it, or evolving, evolving it to some extent into a civilian as well as a military program in order to essentially shortcut the whole effort to develop entirely new spacecraft?
Well, you know, the shuttle had been a research spacecraft instead of America's only operational spacecraft to low Earth orbit. It would have been a fantastic success, and we could have built on it in many different ways, and the X-37, I think, fits that category right now. It's doing exactly the right thing, which is researching how that question of yours can be answered. But the shuttle, and so the shuttle as a vehicle, is a tremendous success. It's a great achievement, And as a piece of technology and as a vehicle for the for research, it's just fantastic. Where it failed, of course, was as an economical means of achieving things in space, in exploration, taking astronauts further, faster, out to new destinations. It had no growth opportunity in that area, and it was a very expensive way to become the operational vehicle for doing even routine things in space, even delivering of communication satellites and remote sensing satellites. So your question, as a technology, the answer is yes. As an economic venture for so many of the things that we want to do economically in space or advancing humans to achieve, you know, new destinations, the answer would be no. I don't think it has a lot of applicability. So, again, it's the use of these things that is crucial, and the economics that's involved in it. Even your opening commentary, I agree with every word about those are the things that should be done, but the question is by who and what are the economics involved? Is this something the government should undertake right now? Is this extensive colonization and building of a lunar base, or is this something that should be developed so that the people who actually will want to carry them out, just the same as the people in North America who wanted to carry out the settlement of a new world, will carry out, or whether it's an economic venture like the exploration of the oceans became. The answer to your question is the X-37, I think, is a great research effort, but I don't think it's going to be the economic way to either achieve any of the human exploration goals or even the Earth orbit goals for cargo activity in the future.
I think we probably have time to discuss one more topic, and I think it's a fundamental topic that both of us have touched on in different ways. Budgets. Budgets have always been a problem. Starting and stopping, deciding and undeciding, expanding and cutting, it plays havoc with skill sets, engineer expertise, institutional memory, ultimate project mission costs and successes. What do you see as a way that we can sort of even out, if there's any way to do it? Is there a way to even out this process so that even as politics change, some commitments can go forward more or less as envisioned so that we don't destroy infrastructure every time we change our minds?
Well, my facetious answer was going to be make me king. but that's a facetious answer because even that wouldn't work. The great kings of the of history who had projects such as the building of the Tomb of the Terracotta Soldiers in China or the pyramids in England, they could carry on for 40, 50 years without anybody upsetting their budget plans, but they still had interruptions. And, of course, those things things ended up being lost to history in so many other ways that they have their disruptions. In a democracy, it's even harder because there will be changes of government in there. But I think the exciting part is, and I think we've got to look at this glass not just half empty, but half full. We are so extraordinarily lucky to be living at a time and in a country that we can debate about whether to go to Moon or Mars or asteroids, and we can debate whether our rockets should be solid-fueled or liquid-fueled, or whether or not we should use Saturn V components or shuttle components or Lockheed Martin-derived components or Boeing-derived components. We are able to spend money exploring other worlds. We're able to spend money doing these great space ventures because we are very fortunate to have this kind of a budget. So we have to build on the positive aspect of it. Sure, I have very strong opinions about how we can use the budget more wisely, and I'll continue to argue for those. But the fact is that we are very, very lucky that we're able to be having these arguments and exploring it. I don't think I could think of lots of congressional reforms. I mean, I'm really furious at Congress about a lot of things, and as to how to make these budgets more logical and practical and sustaining. We saw with Constellation, it wasn't sustaining. But we live in a democracy, and we're going to have the ugliness of how these things happen and are made, and just keep building on the positive and get more people involved. And so my only answer is just get all your listeners involved. Keep writing to Congress, telling how interested they are in space exploration, how much they want this to continue.
And support the Planetary Society.
And support the Planetary Society. Planetary.org. Please join.
We have time for me to ask you one more silly question. It's a question that some people may be thinking, and I don't know that it's serious, but I'm going to ask it anyway. It seems like such a waste to send these shuttles to museums. Isn't there any way that they could at least be launched one last time and be added as modules to something like the space station?
Well, that would be a hugely expensive undertaking because they have not been designed to be modules of the space station. They would require a tremendous amount of maintenance and support. It may have been a good idea. It should have been made 10 years ago when the decision to retire the shuttle was made. I'm also kind of reluctant to get behind the one more shuttle flight argument. You know, the Columbia Accident Investigation Board was pretty firm on what needed to be done if we were going to make the shuttle a reliable and safe launch vehicle. And if there's another accident because we're just wanting to stretch out one more flight, that's going to come down very heavily on not just the space program, but the whole country. So I wish the decision had been made differently. I wish people had their eyes open when it was made 6 or 7 years ago and said, oh, no, we want to do it differently. We want to do such things as build a new space station out of its components or build a new launch vehicle out of it. But that was then, and this is now, and unless you give us a lot more budget to do some of these things, I'm afraid that they've made the best decision they can given the constraints.
Well, it turns out that we do have about another minute and a half, so I'll ask you one more question. The Russians, while I think that they've come a long way as partners, I think that there's still a certain amount of apprehension about how reliable will they be when they are the only game in town to get to the space station. They have shown a willingness to use natural gas supplies as political and financial leverage. What do you think the future will hold in that time period when we have to rely on the Russians?
Well, first of all, we've relied on them twice before in history, and they've proven very, very reliable. They were very reliable in the 90s when we were doing the joint missions shuttle Mir. They were very reliable in the aftermath of the Columbia accident when they had a monopoly on our access to space. For whatever reasons, I think Russia is more dominated by money than they are by this sort of geopolitical advantage over the United States.
They're,
after all, they're more of our allies. So you're talking about money, and if they want to, if they screw us over and lose us as a customer, it's going to be to their disadvantage more than ours. Because frankly, I don't like to put it this way, but It's only rocket science. There's no brain surgery going on up there. We could actually stand down, if they were really some terrible thing to happen and they were going to do that kind of extortion.
Okay.
There's no evidence that they will. I think the space station will get through this period.
Down to our last 30 seconds. We can do this again. My guest has been Dr. Lewis Friedman, Executive Director of the Planetary Society. Thank you for joining us. It's been thrilling. And next week, my guest will be D.B. Grady, a freelance columnist for The Atlantic, an author, and ex-Special Forces. We're going to be talking military stuff. So tune in next week. Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig, 650 Houston.